Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that sound. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that sound. Wiggling.
Yeah, this is Cassidy, the hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
Motherfucker, I got kids. I don't want to listen to that bullshit.
Fuck the niggas!
Motherfuckers need to stop.
How can you call yourself a nigga and be proud of it?
For sure, bitch. Represent till we die.
Around, but I knew I could get all you motherfuckers if it's on the ground. So I checked him, and then I wet him. Yeah, it all the
track, Mac coming like a goofy. Out our niggas so packed. It's about time we close shop for these niggas. Rapping on a nigga just trying to make their name bigger. They acting like they bout it, knowing they ain't bout it. But I guess somebody tells y'all they want, yeah, I got it. But see, it all started back in 1993. When I got what I was at, they trying to do some jubilee. But see, it's not no threat, and it's all this rap. Cause that race charge that you would've resisted. But anyway, it goes, yeah, I'm gonna show the joke stick. So I don't think who you from can't go fast. I can't do it, cause they're two fucking hoes. But I'm gonna run it one time, how they two hoes. But first, what about the color? Said I feel like that's a anybody. You thought that words would work, it didn't rock the crowd. It's unbelievable, coincidental. If they had a shot, man, Bob, I swear to God, I made my vow. Cause I ain't no joke, I'm on a real and game. I'm a big, my only word that's true is that it's my boy. Guzzly gang, sticky.
Trouble to keep my motherfucking name, my joke, motherfucking my bus. Yeah. I'm talking to you, Mr. Cole. I'ma leave your ass in critical condition, motherfuckers. I hope you take this personal. I'm sick and tired of your bitches playing with me. I'm from the streets, so respect you and LV. I told you once, I told you twice. We got a knife. The offer is my ledger, wrong as shit, I tell it right. I'm trying to diss, and y'all thought y'all get some miss. Yeah, y'all miss life. Listen like that, in the back. That's your whack, is it the back? Cause it's the back, because the fact that I'm a bad-ass yellow boy.
Yo, what it do, y'all? King Eric in the building. Off the Cuff Radio, host T-Max in the building.
What it do, y'all? Another Super Sunday edition of OTC up in the building. We are sponsored by DaVinci Clothing, Buddy Boy Entertainment, Dirty Basement Radio, King Air Productions, Jesse's Boutique, and Core Financial. And once again tonight, we got a super show. We are bringing back a living legend. And we got to shout out all the hoods that are associated where he's from. Yes, we talking about Dixon,
yes,
Lower Ninth, Tulane, Gravier, Westlake, Girttown, Vivid Venetian, Desert Pines Village, Florida, all representing that New Orleans. And we are here live and direct with the legendary Lil Yah. What it is, man?
Hello?
Hello?
Yo, can you hear me?
What it
yeah,
is, brother?
Yeah, we can hear you.
What's up, man? I'm good, man. How y'all doing today, dog? What's up?
We good, man. What's going on with you?
Oh, man, it's grinding, enjoying this beautiful Sunday. Kicking it with the fam today, you know what I'm saying? I had too much work to get done. So decided to holler at you guys, man.
Man, we appreciate you coming through it.
Yeah, I gotta say, man, I seen some of your performance yesterday with big shout out to Hershey the Lyricist, the lovely Hershey the Lyricist. Y'all tore it down last night.
Yeah. Actually that was Friday, man, at Division One in Houston, Texas, man. It went down, man.
Well, It is what it is, man. And we know everything since COVID came and kind of shut everything down and everything. How did it feel to, like, be back out on the stage doing what you were doing again?
Oh, man, it's lovely, bro. Actually, I had several shows that was canceled due to COVID around the last time COVID had hit hard a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they slowly but surely coming back. And, you know, I'm embracing it, bro. I mean, the stage is like my home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to studio putting in work, but ain't nothing like that stage for me. You know what I'm saying? I'm like the entertainer of the group. You feel me? So that stage is my home.
Definitely.
Yeah. And how was your how was that trip to Miami, man? Like, you know, I saw you up in Miami for a couple weeks there.
Yeah, man, it was so live. Eric, bro, I had to go back, dog. Actually, I came home. I stayed 14 days. I came home for 3 days. And I decided to go back and get a little more of that sun, man. Stayed another 5 days, and I came back. And Miami is a beautiful place, bro. I mean, God damn, it's live out there, bro. Peace of mind for days.
305, keep it live down there, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing about it, you know.
Daddy, too. Show me much hospitality, little trick, man.
Yeah, We the Best, Flip and Slide, shout out to Trick Daddy, you know, Ted Lucas, Trina, that whole clique down there, man. Always keeping it, you know, sunny down at the Sunshine State. Definitely, most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir, man. There's been a lot going on since, you know, you last chopped it up with us. I mean, aside from COVID and crazy 2020s and still going on, a lot of madness going on. Tell us what you've been up to, bro.
Oh, man, I'm working big time on our artist. Oh, he's not our first artist, but he's our first artist to this label. I just started a new imprint called Be Real Records. And it's this cat named Young Els. He's the first artist on our label. So I've been really putting like 70% of my day in it, you know, trying to help him blow it. You know, put the muscle behind it, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, you know, I told y'all about the two joint venture albums that we released. They're doing pretty well. Also, I just released Six and Barone. You know, that was our very first studio album. You know, it was with Cash Money at the time. You know, it was a Cash Money release, actually. And it's doing well. I released it 2 weeks ago, and it's doing real well. I want everybody to pick up that the Six of Marone album, stream it or download it, Jerry.
Definitely. And, yeah, what does it feel like in terms of, you know, because obviously you're a distinguished veteran and a legend, you know, what is it like moving in and transitioning to that next level of being, you know, overseeing a young artist, running a label, you know, from where you are artist, and now you're taking it over from the business side?
I think it's pretty much the same. You got to have the same pride, no doubt, because it's like you're planting a seed. You want to see that seed blossom one day.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have the same drive and hunger. But I think it's a more learning lesson for me right now. You know, I mean, even though I've been in a CEO game, I never really done a CEO thing and artist develop. You know, I'm the only person dealing with him, hands on, you know what I'm saying? Teaching him everything I know, basically, you know, trying to get him to grasp it. And we go from there.
Yeah, you bring it up. You brought up artist development, which is a key vital to making stars today. And that's like the old school industry technique that I could pretty much say that's very missing in today.
Well, yeah. You know, basically artist development, you know, they basically give you an image or whatever. But with this guy, I don't have to give him an image. I'm just trying to make him see his image and you know, make it bloom. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's original, and that's what catch my eyes. Any artist, anybody that know me, know how I I choose my artists that I decide to like, you know, and it, originality is on top of my list, period. I don't want anybody sounding like nobody. I don't want somebody saying, oh, man, you sound like Jigga. Now, you may think Jigga the best in the world, but you sounding like him to me, it's not impressing me at all. You know, there's only one Jigga. You know, get your own style, your own swag. Be a trendsetter. So that's what impresses me, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to have those moments where you sounded off like T-Pain in the studio. You know what I'm saying? When you start hearing the same acts over and over.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
so I've been investing a lot of time in them.
And, you know, one thing about it is when you're dealing with, you know, especially in the climate today, you know, it's always good to give that advice to an artist in terms of them understanding that them being an individual, not trying to follow behind somebody, is the most important. Because that's how you distinguish yourself, you know. You know, how do you feel about the music scene today in terms of where you see a lot of artists kind of using the same cookie-cutter formula in terms of flow, beats, and even fashion, to where it's all like indistinguishable in terms of trying to tell who really does bring something different?
I mean, I'm a music lover. I'm a big music head, not just a rap. It's music, period. And the state that hip hop in right now, I'm not feeling it too much, because of which is the reason you're saying right now. They don't have too many people that's separated from the wave. You know what I mean? Everybody sounding the same. And come on, man, you know? I don't think that's cool. But I am excited into looking at and the future of hip-hop, because I feel like it's about to evolve and that gangster shit about to come back. You know what I'm saying? These clout chasers that's doing it or whatever, that shit going to get called out. And people going to be able to see through that. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to be getting these little whack-ass records and shit going double platinum and, you know, by, you know, accident and type shit. Nah, dog, you know, it's going to be real. And, you know, I'm embracing that era. Once again, it's coming. Believe that. It's coming. You know, the whole
paranormal shift.
Standout artists. You see?
Yeah. Yeah, like he said, it was that paradigm shift. Now, in terms of it, you know, when you look at how it was today and how it was back then for when you and LV were getting on, to give our listeners a little backstory on it who may not, you know, have know, what was it just like during that time in New Orleans coming up with the bounce movement, you know, just kind of really just seeing what it was, you know, just really the just from the nascent phases of, you know, y'all developing y'all sound early on. You know, pre-Master P, because he's one of the most well-known, if not one, the most well-known coming out of NO. But just the scene in terms of how it was for y'all coming in, getting your name out there, and ultimately, you know, becoming what you all would become, along with everybody else who was in the game.
Okay, well, making a name for ourselves was, I mean, it was hard, bro. It was blood, sweat, and tears. A few years behind it, you know what I'm saying? We didn't have the internet era where, you know, you can one click of a button, you reach 50,000, 100,000 fans, and, you know, people that never knew you automatically be introduced to you. It wasn't like that, man. We actually hung our own posters. We was our own street team. Before we even, you know, got signed to a company, we was our own distributor. We was burning tapes. It wasn't CD burners and, you know, no CDs, it was tapes at the time. So we would double tape, you know, we'll make a record in a club. Actually, our club was ballrooms that we used to hang in. So we'll go in the ballroom and make a song and go home and dub it, you know, buy like 50 tapes and dub that song on each side of that tape and sell it for $5 the next day. You know what I'm saying? And really bust our ass doing it. Even though we'll sell out every day, we'll go back the next day, you know what I'm saying? And we was hand-in-hand with this shit. That's what I mean by distributor, you know, making it. And we're, like, manufacturing it, too, you know? So it's a total different business that's going on right now. It's a totally different hustle, you know what I'm saying? I consider as it being easy and a lot helpful these days. Not saying I'm mad because of what we went through. It just makes us appreciate it a little more. You know what I'm saying? But these kids have it so easy, they don't even know. And then what pisses me off, you know, we like put real blood and tears and shit behind it, and sweat behind it. These cats getting in it real easy, you know, getting the bag real easy, and they're fucking up their lives, you know what I'm saying? I mean, they're not appreciating it. That's what I think it is. You know, they're getting it so easy, they feel like, why should I appreciate this shit? I didn't work for this, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's kind of equivalent to giving a kid a brand new car and he don't really have to earn it to get his driver license. No, he can't mess it up because he don't really appreciate it.
Exactly.
Great analogy, King. And one thing about it, and he made such a great point because, you know, we're older, you know, all of us, obviously, but we're not old. You know, we're children of this culture. We understand what goes on, and we remember a time where, you know, like you said, y'all, the street teams, promotions, you know, you, and the thing is, you before you even step foot in that office, you already had to have, you know, your game tight in terms of what you're presenting, because these people were getting ready to put money behind
it. Yep.
So,
you know, it wasn't no games. It wasn't a game, man. For real.
Plus, the hustle was different back then, too, because, and this is what I was telling people before, like, in the South, it's way different. But see, up North, you have to battle people, or you got to hand your demo. Over here in the South, you got to go in clubs and make a record pop. And that's dope.
Right. I agree with you. It's more than a hit record, a battle record that put you where you need to be. You know, you got to rub shoulders with those DJs, man. You know, my advice to new artists, I mean, not new artists, because you can do so much, get your music out so many different ways, but I've always took the method of making a DJ my best friend. You know what I'm saying? Because without a DJ, and your music will never get heard. That was the reason for our concept behind that song, Go DJ. That, you know, that Lil Wayne, quote unquote, borrowed. You know what I mean? You know, our whole concept behind that song was to glorify the DJ. You know, let people know the importance of a DJ. You know, nowadays you got a million and one of them because of the new equipment that everybody uses now. You know, so everybody calls themselves a DJ. So it's a whole other game now, man.
Yeah,
and that's where we wanted to bring. That's why we wanted to bring you on, man. Because UNLV, man, it's like y'all pioneered a whole lot of shit. Like I remember when we talked about last time when Master P ball, I'm about it, the song that we played from y'all, and now it's revealed here that Lil Wayne ball Go DJ. You guys set some trendsetters for real.
Well, bro, appreciate it, man. That's what we aim to be, bro. I mean, we have idols and, you know, people that motivated and inspired us. You know what I'm saying? NWA for one. You know, but through it all, we always wanted to have our own identity. You know, we wanted to be ourselves, bro. You know? And to this day, that's the model we live by.
And that's always how you got to carry it, y'all, because, because people remember you in terms of you being able to stand out. Now, one thing about it is, you know, of course, in the intro, I shouted out a lot of the hoods out there, you know, from Desire to Florida, you know, Lower Ninth. And one thing about it, those are some real spots where it goes down. You know, obviously you're born and raised, you know, so you've seen a lot going out there. What is your opinion of where a lot of these new artists today are trying to embrace Beef as a brand in terms of trying to get their fame out there, but not always understanding the consequences behind their words, trying to talk slick, and then they end up slipping up or get caught slipping?
Right. I really don't know their motive, but I do know that they're taking it to a whole nother level. You know what I'm saying? That beef, that music beef shit, dog. I mean, We was in real beef. We had a real beef on wax. But you know what I'm saying? And shit got real bad. I'm thankful today that we're here now to talk about it. And we're best of friends with the guys that we were beefing with. There's some cats called Partners in Crime. You know, they're from New Orleans. Well-known group, you know what I mean? But we had, like, real beef with them. And that shit could have got bad, man. So, you know, it didn't. And I'm thankful for that. You feel me? You know, the beef nowadays, these little dudes, they banging behind the shit, dog. You know, you really don't have a reason to not like a person or whatever. You just trying to get more fame than them, I guess, or whatever. And you're trying to shit on them, and you're getting personal. So a lot of, you know, people ain't dealing with that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know,
I think what happened
with the 2000s, where people started seeing how 50 Cent marketed beef as a marketing tool. Everybody tried to copy that blueprint for him. The nigga made a billion. He made an empire off of beef. He turned a raw beef and turned into a long strings of steaks. So everybody else is trying to follow that.
Real talk. I agree with you, King.
And King made a great point with that. You know, one of the funniest interviews, and I reference this all the time, shout out to OG Bezel. I mean, we had him on the show a couple of years ago, and man, I think we were laughing for damn near half of the interview. I mean,
because he was talking about how rappers in the South handle beef different from up north and even the West Coast.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. He was saying, he's like, look, when he said, like, they will stick up the promoter, and the promoter's like, y'all go on in, because, you know, the dudes that he may have promoted for the show, they said something crazy, and he's like, man, he's like, niggas out there ain't having it. He's like, they will come to your show, and they will be settled right there.
Right. For real, man.
And the promoter and the DJ, even the damn journalist wasn't even safe. Like the nigga when he write the story, he gonna catch a stray.
Wow.
Yeah, you know.
But going on, you guys played a huge part in the Cash Money era, man. And do you care to tell, like, how you got discovered by Baby, how you met Baby, and how much contribution that you put into the Cash Money sound?
Well, actually, Cash Money blueprinter of the company actually was our sound. You know, and our sound and our method was to have bounce beats over gangsta lyrics. You know, everybody in New Orleans basically was doing regular call and chant bounce music, you know, bounce raps. And we decided that we wanted to step it up a little. We wanted to use the same beats because dancing is a major factor in New Orleans, and women love to peep pop or whatever, you know, shake their ass and shit. So we're going to keep that beat and let the women do what they do on it, but we're going to incorporate the gangsters and the fellas in it as well, you know, so...
Right.
That was the blueprint of UNLV, and Cash Money took that and, you know, and embedded it in the rest of the label. When we got the Cash Money, they only had Kilo G, and Kilo G wasn't doing nothing close to bounce music, you know. Rest in peace, that was my dude and everything, you know, but he was totally gangster. Nothing bounce at all, just totally gangster, and New Orleans didn't accept that. You know what I mean? So, you know, we contribute a whole lot to the company. You know, not to mention that, you know, they got the deal off our numbers. So, you know, we sold well over 350,000 copies that enabled them to get the first deal with Universal.
Oh, man.
You know, we was the first group signed to Cash Money.
And we also the first artist that made 30 million or 300 million?
30 million with Universal. That was the initial deal. 30 million.
It was 30 million the first deal. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, pretty much as you all moved in, you know, from kind of getting, you know, being part of that, you know, moving on to a major label, what was that like? You know, rest in peace, Yellow Boy and everything. What was it like when y'all realized, like, you know, it was, like, really, like, this was something that, like, y'all were really, really on like that? What was that feeling?
It was a huge transition, you know. I'm not saying it was easy at all, you know, because, I mean, working with Manny Fresh, first of all, we felt like anything we could say boo on the fucking record, it's gonna sell. We got Manny on the track. You know, that's the kind of confidence we had in dude. And to go from working with a person like that to working with mediocre producers that you really have to work with and you have to use your insights. You know, me and Tech and Yellow Boy actually, well, you know, we've been me and Tech since. But, you know, we're really, really musically inclined. So we have input on almost every track you ever heard from us that wasn't produced by Manny Fresh. You know, we have input on those producers. And as long as we get a producer that we can tell that exactly what we want and we can do it, we're going to make it happen from there. You know, and we've been fortunate enough to you know, deal with producers like Sinister, Kano, you know, a few more fire producers that name ain't as big as Fresh, but, you know, with co-production behind them, they on that level, you know what I mean?
Right.
And no samples.
Yeah.
No samples.
How important is it for an artist to be totally in touch from the root to the tutor in terms of understanding, you know, not only...
I didn't hear your phone breaking up, I'm sorry.
How important is it for an artist to really understand what they're doing in terms of not only from their lyrics and content perspective, but also understanding the nuance of studio, how the machines work, you know, just engineering, mixing, everything, support, all support the process?
It takes some schooling, you know, you can be hands-on taught, you can go to school for it. Or whatever, but I'm gonna put it to you like this: the average person that I know, especially from my hood, Six and Marone, the average person could rap. But the difference is, you put that same rapper in a studio, a professional studio, he gonna have problems recording. You know, so a lot of people think it's just that easy, just because you can write a rapper, you can spit, that you can get in the booth and. It's that easy, you know. It's a lot to the process, man. You know, especially if you want to perfect it. You know, you gotta study it, you know, your forefathers. You know, study what people did that really made it, and I also study the ones that failed. You know, that's what I do really. I look at the ones that fucked up some kind of way, and I try not to do what they did.
And it's just key, and you know what, some people just don't understand the key elements of just making hit records and a hit album. Like, for example, a hook. The hook will make or break an artist. I heard a lot of real sharp cats would be like assassins on the mic, but they hook, they don't bring that track to life.
You're right. When you're making a record, you know, our method of making a record, first of all, we dig up a concept and what we want to rap about. You know, we make sure that it's an interesting concept. You know, it's a relatable concept. And then from there, we go to the hook. You know what I'm saying? Before we start pinning our verses, we go to the hook from there. You know, I might come up with the hook. Tank might add to it. He might come up with it. I might add to it, but... However, before the hook is before we confirm the hook, we're both gonna like really listen to it and, you know, chat it a few times. You know what I'm saying? So once you get the concept, the hook, and the rest is easy. You know, from the bridge to the verses.
Like, I can give you a perfect example. When we first heard Juvenile, huh? We would listen to the bars like, man, this nigga ain't saying nothing, but the hook is what drove the song home.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, but one thing about it too, man, and like you said, you know, you got to have content. Now, obviously, you've been in the game some years, so you've obviously heard freestylers doing, you know, who, you know, obviously made albums. But there's also been a lament too that while, like you said, a lot of artists who are innately nice with the words sometimes have trouble in the studio. Where do you think the divide comes between a lot of freestylers who have trouble writing songs?
Like I said, they good with words, and they figure, you know, they know whatever else, whatever it is they need to know because they good with words. For a while, they not even thinking about making sense using those words. Some freestylers make sense like a motherfucker as well, but still can't make a song.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Those be straight lyrical wordsmiths, but they straight sharp with the bars. But then you can't, they can't craft no album because see the album that tests out the test of time.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
That it does.
I mean, you got and based on you know, album record wise, you might have a timeless record, you may have a hit record, you may have a classic record. You know, they have different type of hits, you know what I mean? Well, and we really try to aim for timeless music. You know, music gonna be around forever. So if you make a record, like say something simple as a summertime song. I just done a record with this guy named Devious, you know, if y'all probably familiar with him. Well, he's not just a guy, he's a legend, pioneer from New Orleans. And I've done a song with him called Hot Summer. And that song going to be around a long time, whether it's labeled a classic or a hit record, only because it's a seasonal record, you know what I'm saying? And radio has approached the record like it's a big record, you know? We made a record called Hot Summer. The song is real hot. And like I said, it's going to be a timeless record. That's what we aim for.
And that's always the key, and, man. Because you,
right. And,
definitely.
And of course, that's the residual money, you know.
Yeah. And one thing about it, too, when you talk about timeless record, y'all, what do artists have to understand coming into the game when they make this a career in terms of, you see so many basically just kind of just want to come in just to, you know, maybe get their name out there, just, you know, or they don't, you know, they feel like once they've got a song, that's all they need to do. What do artists have to do to understand what it really means to commit yourself to this and to really, 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 you know, become a legend, to make songs that really are classic and everything?
Mm-hmm. Well, first, I think they have to be consistent and serious. Excuse me. I should have hit the button in my face. My bad. Yeah.
You're good. Take your time.
They have to be serious and consistent about what they're doing. I mean, you get out there, you make a nice record. You're going to have to follow up with that with something nicer. You know what I'm saying? If you don't, you're going to get lost in the shuffle. It's about consistency. You know, it's also about perfecting your craft, you know. Dedication, hard work. You know, I've been in the industry well over 25 years, close to 28 actually. But every day I'm blessed to open my eyes, I try to do something affiliated with my business and my craft. You know what I'm saying? If it ain't but to write a line of a rap, or, you know, think of a concept, call someone, you know, reach out to, you know, anything. Every day of my life, man, I, for the last 28 years, I promise you, I've done something on that level. You know, it don't stop. You know what I'm saying? It don't stop. And I can assure you the success that Baby and Slim have right now, they still do the same thing. They gonna do something every day pertaining to that business. You know, you it just ain't something that you just sit on it and just watch it grow, dog. You gotta nourish it. You feel me? Daily.
Now you were being now with you being around them for that period of time, and interesting enough, around 95, No Limit was emerging in New Orleans as well. That those guys, were there's like real deep competition between you guys.
Well, actually, the competition was always UNLV and Mystical. Somewhere in the line, you know, No Limit and Cash Money, the room of No Limit and Cash Money beefing this came about. I don't know. I really don't know what that shit was about. I never heard about No Limit and Cash Money beefing. I never heard of P and Baby beefing. You know what I'm saying? I don't know nothing about that. You know, but personally, you know, we still deal with dudes that was on No Limit. Like C Murder, one of our good partners. You know, we fuck with C Heavy, Skullduggery, Mill X, Mac, Magic, rest in peace, Magic. He was our dude. He was from downtown, but, you know, we kicked it with him a few times. Kane and Evil, you know, almost Fiend. It's not to mention even Mystical. That wasn't even real beef, you know what I'm saying? I let the world know about that shit. That's something that he wanted to do to get his name out. So, I mean, as far as Cash Money and No Limit beef, and I never knew about that, bro. You know? I don't even know if it was ever beef with them, but the reason why they wasn't working together, well, I could tell you, you know, back in the early 90s, all the way up until they got the deal, Cash Money didn't believe in networking. They didn't want the artists to, you know, bring other artists to the table to, you know, network with if you wasn't a part of Cash Money. We went through that problem with doing the song with Soulja Slim, Magnolia Slim at the time. He wasn't signed up to Pete, to No Limit yet, but he was on another label. I think it was Parkway Pump It Up Records or something like that. But, you know, they Babe and Slim shut our whole studio down because they refused to let Slim record with us because he wasn't a part of Cash Money. You know, but they came back and, you know, of course, they allowed that song to happen. You know, but, you know, Cash Money wasn't in the mode of networking back then. You know, that was always the reason I thought No Limit and Cash Money never worked together.
Yeah, it was very cliquish.
Right.
And I guess from that level of it, there's going to be an inherent, obviously, because when you come up together, you know, you understand. I mean, if we really go further and deeper into the conversation, you have a lot of times everybody just looks at it, this is what we do, and nobody is going to understand it but us.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, there isn't always chemistry in terms of collaboration. But
right.
I do think a lot of times where there can be a cooperative effort, it can organically grow if people are open to that. But,
no doubt.
Like you said, like King said, you know, it can be very cliquish, and you got some people that they can get out there and just kind of give a certain thing of, well, you know, we don't need nobody, you know, this, that, and the other. And I think a lot of times that's a very that's a very narrow and even dangerous view in terms of when you're trying to grow your brand, because when you're looking at music, it's supposed to be you're trying to reach as many people as you can.
Right,
you never know
right.
who could be that person that could really, really bring it to the next level and such.
I totally agree.
Yeah, No Limit. I think No Limit was like that, too, in the early part, because they weren't really collabing with anybody and styled their clique until Snoop got aboard. So it was very cliquish.
Yeah.
I think it was just hip hop in general. Like, there was a mutual respect between cliques, but collabs were very rare. If they were rare, if they were to happen, the camps had to really be respected, and the bag had to be nice.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
real nice.
Oh, yeah. The only people that Cash Money really was dealing with, like, for networking with outside the company, was UGK and this guy named E-Vicious. E-Vicious, he's deceased right now. Actually, he had a birthday yesterday. Rest in peace, E-Vicious from Lake Charles.
Hmm.
X Mob was the name of the group that he was from. Y'all probably be familiar with him. There was, some hitters, man. Some old motherfuckers.
Yeah,
yeah,
now, when we talk about
Mob,
though, let's talk about legends. We can't not mention Mac and his recent, you know, getting out of prison. How big is that for the, you know, New Orleans?
Beautiful.
You know, for him being down.
That's
all the time
huge for New Orleans, bro. That's so big for New Orleans and our culture right now. Simply because, you know, Mac ain't that type of dude, bro. And everybody know that the man was innocent. You know what I'm saying? For him to go do all that fucking time and, you know, finally, you know, get released like that, bro, it's amazing, man. It is unfortunate, but it's amazing. So, you know, the city is real happy about that right now, bro. Just waiting to see what he's, you know, what his next chapter look like.
Yeah. I don't even care if he hear any more music, man. Just as long as he's out, let him enjoy life.
Yeah.
Like, enjoy that blue biscuits and catfish. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's what I mean by chapter. It don't necessarily have to be music, man. It's another chapter, bro. You free. You know what I mean? It's a whole other world out here.
Yeah, man. And you know, when to really see, you know, and you know, to really see him, and like I said, out, you know, after doing, you know, over 20 years, man. You know, obviously, you know, it was an unfortunate set of events that he was caught up in. Where do artists have to understand about now that you're in the game, where you have to watch what you're doing, and you have to be conscious in terms of how these things, you can get caught up in a situation like Mac or someone got caught up in. What do artists have to understand about places that they go, how they...
You have to understand that word fame, man. I mean, a lot comes with that word fame. It ain't all that wrapped up supposed, you know, to be. It ain't all good all the time. You know what I'm saying? You got cats that you literally may think is a fan that know you. You don't know them from Adam, but you know, you may think this is a fan all the while. This dude wants your head. He comes speak to you and, you know, and you like, he's thinking it's all good, but all the while it's all bad. So, I mean, you got to watch that word fame, bro. And it ain't easy to deal with. You know what I'm saying? It's really not easy to deal with. Because, you know, somebody can do you something and they fucking famous. You do that same person something, you brainless. They gonna fry your ass in jail. You know what I'm saying? So it ain't all good all the time, bro. And you gotta move different. Once you get out there, I mean, you gotta move different, bro. You can't hang in the same place no more. So many people envy you and you don't even know it, you know? That's the main thing. Yeah. You don't know where this shit coming from half the time. You know? So you gotta move different, bro. Use common sense.
Yeah, I remember
you know?
Right. My last example,
like, why would you hang on a block with $2 million worth of jewelry on? You're not hustling, and you're taking a chance. You know, people get robbed on the block all the time. What makes you think it can't happen to you? That's just stupid. You know what I'm saying? You got to move different, bro.
And you also look at it like within the culture, it's an ego and pride thing, especially when you base your rep off being a street rapper. They look at moving and selling out. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it's a cautious, smart move. Like, you don't want to be in the hood worth $10 million unless you know building the projects up. But other than that, you'll be an easy lick out there.
Exactly. And you don't want to stick out like a sore thumb. You know, you want to live around some people that at least living, you know, almost like you are better than you. You know what I mean? You can't be in the hood in a $1 million house. You the only house that costs $1 million. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, you're a target. Perfect. Fuck. So you got to move out there, man. You got to. I ain't saying sell out on your hood, nothing like that, because I always go back, though. Every chance I get, I go back. I don't hang back. Like I said, I'm not doing the things that I was doing coming up in the game, so therefore, I be slipping them out, which is just hang out there like that. Nah, but I'm going to pass and holler, you know, go holler at all the old folks and, you know, buy a few groceries or whatever, you know, show my love, and then I'm out, you know what I'm saying? I ain't got nothing to prove to him, you know what I'm saying? Fuck it, dog. I ain't got nothing to prove. My whole goal was to make it out, and I've done that, man. So I'm thankful. And I believe everybody that hustle in the hood, their whole motive for hustling is to make something better, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, definitely. And you know, one thing about it, I remember an interview. This was with a source some years back. You know, where I think it was Silk and Sea Murder. They were interviewing. This was from a 1999 issue of Source. And you know, they were just talking about, you know, what was it, Vibe? I think it was the Vibe issue where all 98 guys.
Might have been Vibe.
Yeah, might have been Vibe. Yeah, thank you, King. It might have been Vibe. And you know, Silk says some people got back fever in their blood. You know, and that's a tragedy. You know, but one thing about it is too, you know, King and myself, you know, we've been journalists in this game for a while in terms of, you know, just really seeing things. And one thing about it that you said, yeah, it's real, because there's always a street branding behind it, you know, in terms of what you do. But there is a point where you do have to understand that, you know, like you said, you're doing what you're doing to be able to move to another place of getting out of that. You know, because like you and Keith said, you're food out there, because when you're dealing with people that don't have, and, you know, we know how y'all get down in New Orleans. It's serious.
You got to feed feed the sharks, dog. For real.
It's like this, but you can't be chum with the sharks either. The sharks are going to be chum.
Exactly.
You
know, That's how I go, man.
Especially in certain territories where the laws are eager to lock you up. And definitely in New Orleans, man, because the laws are terrible.
Yeah, they stereotype y'all. They're like a motherfucker, dog. Like I'm in Houston right now. You know, I have a career about in New Orleans and in Houston. But like during school, I live in Houston because I have younger kids that's, you know, in elementary and shit. And the school system is a lot better. But man, these stereotypes, like, you're so bad in New Orleans, bro. You could be in a fucking 2000 Chevy. I mean, like a 2021 Chevy, and they gonna look at you like, you know, they gonna ask you where you got it from, how, you know, all that type bullshit. Versus you can be a 15-year-old in Houston with a mouth full of goals, you already no shirt on or whatever, sound blasting in a Bentley. People ain't gonna pull you over for that. You know, they not gonna stereotype you at all. You know what I mean? So New Orleans is so bad for stereotyping you, bro. It's disgusting, dog. For real.
Yeah. And not to mention a lot of legendary MCs. Hold on 1 second. A lot of legendary MCs got caught up in that situation, from C Murder and BG and Bootsy.
Yeah.
Even though Bootsy, he got out of his situation.
Right. Yeah, that's crazy, bro. That's crazy, dog. And he always on
yeah.
there like a murder charge, like, you know?
Yeah, but we were
violent crime. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when you know, Boosty was on DJ Vlad, and he was talking about that in terms of how it was in reference to how he would move around at certain levels. And you know, and he was just talking about how, you know, he had to get out of Baton Rouge. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, because it was just, it became too much in terms of him being able to move around. Like, you know, he was always getting pulled over. There was going to be some type of drama out there. He's like, he moved, you know, to Atlanta or whatever. He's like, he ain't got no problems. It's like,
right.
I guess it's from a perspective of depending where you're from.
In every hood, you know, it can be like this when you're dealing with people who are not used to certain things. You know, it's different. You know, what did my man say? The dude that the councilman, you know, dude's father. You know, when they did the flashback scene, he said, "You're different," and after a while, different scares people. But then there's also another dimension of that where after a while, different means for some people they look at it as an opportunity to take advantage because they've never seen different. And for them, it's a lick. They don't know you in terms of what you may be capable of or how you understand things. All they see is it's different from what they know, and they're going to prey on it because of that unknown factor.
Facts. Facts.
You know, but it's real out there in terms of the game in reference to, you know, how people move out there. In terms of, you know, how you, you know, still making moves, how's it been in terms of press, in terms of you being able to just maneuver and just talking to different journalists, outlets, in terms of really, you know, not only being able to talk about what you have going on now, but to give your history and, you know, what you all have done as a whole, as a collective, and your contributions to the music game.
You see how hard is it to tell that?
No. How has it been? How has it been in terms of being able to talk to other journalists about it?
It's been cool. I mean, you know, for the most, I run into a lot of cool journalists, you know, that really know our story. You know, for the ones that don't, I don't mind telling them. Because, I mean, my story is so real, dog. I don't have to lie about any of it. I'm proud of it. I don't have any regrets behind it. You know what I'm saying? So I don't mind telling it. You know, but for the most, a lot of them, you know, they have the story 40% right, 60% wrong. You know, they always have, like, something in the interview and making it look like we beefing with Cash Money or whatever, you know. So, I mean, maybe because what went on, you know, the history or whatever. I don't know, dog, but I mean, you know, I really want people to know that shit cool, man. I mean, it was a hell of a ride with us with Cash Money, and, you know, I wouldn't change nothing about it. You know, at the end of the day, the fact still remains we wanted our own. You know, that's where we at. You know, we felt like we contributed so much to that company, and we did that, this and that to that company. We could do it for ourselves. And why you can't be mad at that, man? You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And how important is it for artists to understand ownership in terms of knowing what they're signing when they get with a label, and then being able to really know the process in terms of are they going to have a chance to really, 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 you know, make those moves in terms of getting to, you know, and working towards independence as opposed. And then some artists are okay being under a label. But what should artists know in terms of getting on with somebody and then ultimately moving, you know, maybe possibly moving on to their controlling their own destiny?
They got a new and understanding contract, first of all. I mean, you signed for a 5-year contract. That means you can't do anything until that contract up, or the company breached the contract, which means they do something and it's like dirty enough for you to go on your own and don't have to worry about being sued and fulfill their obligations. You know, you gotta know what you signed before you sign it. You know, and know what direction that you want to go in before you sign anything. Meaning, you know, like, you want to learn from this company and you want to put out X amount of albums with this company, then branch off on your own or whatever. You may want to be with that company forever. You know, so it's real important that you know what you're signing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, with us being in the information age, that information is easy to access.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Information is everything right now, man. For real.
Yeah, and I think that's something where, you know, there's definitely how you have to, you just got to know, you know, what you want to accomplish and don't let anybody else, you know, pretty much dictate your vision, you know. You know, even though it's not hip-hop related, we got to look at what's happening with Britney Spears right now in terms of the conservatorship issue she has in contract.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in terms of how, you know, you have people who are, you know, where you have people basically handling your business instead of you.
Right.
You know, and you cannot always entrust people to do that because, like, you know, not everybody has the same idea of it. You know, we've seen situations where, you know, people got snaked on something they were supposed to, and they got sold on some bullshit by someone who was telling them, well, this is, you know, in your best interest, and it turns out it wasn't in their best interest. It was in their worst. It was the worst case scenario that came to it. You know, in terms of when the money comes, you know, like you said, fame, you know, it's a different level. I'm trying to get my phrasing together for my inquisitive. What is it like in terms of the artist? How are pay scales dictated for an artist on an independent level as opposed to being signed, and then just understanding how to balance all of that bank out in terms of making sure that when there are lean times, and they will come, that, you know, your money is taken care of?
Well, on a major scale, you have to know that anything that the record label spend on you is recoupable. That's matter of fact, the independent scale too. If you're only an artist, you're not a CEO of that company, you don't own that company. That means the owners are putting money out on you to basically record an album, get your image right. You know, they spend tedious dollars on you, all kind of different money on you, you know, to get you to where they feel you ought to be. And all that money is recoupable. So you may feel like you want to hold out your own image and you have a bigger image than they have for you. Well, guess what? That's still their money that you're spending. And it's going to take longer for you to recoup that, for them to recoup that money in order for you to see something, because you're spending most of it. You know what I mean? So it's just like the dollar. You got to watch the dollar. And once you start seeing money, man, you can't just think just because you have $1 million, you really have $1 million.
Mm.
You know, taxes is a motherfucker, bro. I swear, taxes is a motherfucker. Man.
Plus when people get that advance money, they be thinking, that's the most money these cats ever seen in their life.
Right.
They give you that million to create the art and recoup.
A lot of record labels, they're not even giving, signing bonuses no more. They're giving just what you say, King, advances. And advances are recoupable. Meaning you can get it right now early, but later on down the line, I need this back. That was an advance. Like back in the G, they was giving out signing bonuses. You sign your name right here, you might get an extra $300,000, $400,000. You know what I'm saying? They ain't got to worry about, you know, them getting that back. That's your money. That's the type of money you can play with or whatever, do what you want to. But when you on those people's time, I advise you, man, look, spend as less as possible and let them spend as less as possible on you so you can see something.
That's real game right there, man.
And you're getting it free.
No
y'all
doubt.
Y'all gonna have to start donating at least $50. Y'all gonna start donating $50 to this show, man. Y'all gonna get this free game for real.
That's my dude.
I'm starting the pay per view charge these niggas. Y'all getting industry game for free.
Hmm.
But real talk, man. Real sometimes talk. it ain't really about charging people. It's more so about saving the babies from not getting caught up. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. That's what I mean, dog. A lot of people see us. I mean, I still ride right. I gotta ride right. You know what I'm saying? But with the Jews and all that, man, I done been there, done that, dog. I refuse to waste more money on that shit, dog. For real, bro. I mean, it look good or whatever. Man, when it's like you know how to ride a bike. You know what I mean? You know how to ride one bike. You know how to ride them all. You don't want something else after that bike. You don't want no more bikes. That's how I am with jewels and nothing. You know, I like a nice watch. It rings on another, but the piece and chain, man, ain't into that no more, man. You know.
Yeah,
my son.
Especially
yeah,
when
shit.
Yeah, especially when Cash Money they turned it to the bling bling era, like they ushered that out.
Oh yeah.
And they coined that term to where it's, I even hate that term. You know when you start seeing corny people in suburbia using it, you know it done jumped the shark.
Yeah.
I knew when I seen, what's the kid name? Teenage, you probably know the kid name from American Pie. He said bling bling. I'm like, yo, we need to change our slang.
You talking about Jason Biggs? You talking about his slang?
Yeah. I'm like, yo, we got to change our slang now.
Yeah, man.
But, you know, when you look at it, though, y'all, in terms of hip-hop, in terms of how it's moved over the years, and it becoming a more, you know, becoming more accessible, you know, in the mainstream and such. You know, there's always inevitably going to be that level of it in terms of people trying to ingratiate themselves with it who are not from the culture. When you look at, you know, the game today, y'all, where do you think the problem is in terms of how artists are getting on in terms of people being in charge of signing artists who may not necessarily know the culture but are just looking at certain artists as being a cash cow but not really being creative or really cutting edge?
I think it's the problem is the wrong people that's holding that position. Like the wrong A&Rs, the wrong people that's, you know, being allowed to sign people to deals. You know, obviously, I mean, in my opinion, they don't know about music. You know, they don't have no fucking idea what music is. They putting all this money behind this bullshit and making it work versus getting some talent, you know what I'm saying, and telling their business, you know what I mean? So I'm not knocking the artist that's doing it. Well, in the way I am knocking, because a lot of them I don't feel like artists, but you feel me? The ones that's actually giving these clowns deals, man, I don't think they know about music.
Yeah.
Bunch of motherfuckers balling silver spoon in their mouths, you know, got that position and pressing buttons, calling shots.
Yeah, and I think that's something to be said about it, because I think it's also very, I think we also have to be very, very, very conscious in terms of who we call gatekeepers in the game, in terms of certain people who, you know, those, and, you know, who may have questionable motives in terms of how they actually are going to, quote, unquote, promote an artist. You know, we come from that era where we know about the DJ K Slay. You know, we know about, you know, the Eric Sermons. You know, whether they're artists or whether they are mixtapers. You know, Ron G. You know,
right.
You know, all
like,
of them.
Like, you know, don't mean to cut you off, but like,
No, go ahead.
Like the Jimmy Iovine. You know what I'm saying? You knew about Jimmy Iovine when 50 was introduced. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you don't even hear, you know, like, say, for instance, just throwing hot artists out there. I'm going to see DaBaby. He's a hot artist right now, one of the hottest. All right, yeah. Who bought him in the industry? You know what I'm saying? You don't know nothing about those type of A&R. You feel me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who discovered him? You know what I'm saying? Like, like, just think about it, bro. Jermaine Iovine, you heard Jermaine Iovine just as much as you heard 50 Cent. You know, you heard his name just as much, you know. We bought him in.
Yeah.
You know? We don't have those type of people in those places no more, man.
Yeah, you know, shout out to HBO.
Yeah, you know what they call it? They call them industry plants. They call them industry plants. Like guys that's already been in the game for a while. They always, I mean, yet they'll make up like a story to make it like this guy was discovered and they write a success story. But in reality, that nigga been on the bench the whole time. They were just grooming him.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Even just like you said, y'all, we talk about Jimmy Iovine and his, you know what I'm saying, his legacy. I mean, shout out to HBO, you know, a couple of years out, made his Defiant Ones documentary with him. You know, really talking about their respective histories and their rise in the game, which came from a real place, you know, in terms of what they were doing. You know, it's like what Method Man was saying a few months back. And he was asking, you know, because like, you know, King D.
How these niggas getting that money?
Exactly.
Boom.
Yeah, like, and I mean, you know, enough, you know, enough come from that era, like, where all of them had, like, really worked together enough. You know, shout out to Method Man, of course, known as Clifford Smith, because he's a legitimate actor, been doing it over 25 years. You know, and he said, yeah, I mean, the heart and lungs be lyrical. And it's like, but he was saying about how, in terms of his money, and he's made a lot of it in his career, being a rapper and actor, he's saying, I can account for all of where my money comes from. You know?
Right.
He's like, but I can't. He's like, these new kids coming in, he's like, where are they getting all this money from? And they're not even out there. Like, they haven't even been to game like that.
He's
coming to game. I mean, look, you know what be bugging me out, guys, is that these guys been around for like about a year or two. Then I start looking at their net worths in the Forbes list. And you start seeing these guys up there on the Forbes, like net worth 12, 13 million. But I'm like, damn, this nigga didn't even go platinum.
Yeah. Right, dog. Damn.
Like, what's the story of that?
Yeah. What have you heard in the game, y'all? Obviously, you don't have to name names. But what have you heard in the business in terms of how some of these artists, in terms of how they, some of these deals are cut in terms of people getting in and in terms of how these artists are getting this exposure without really, really having to pay dues for it? What have you heard? What have you seen in terms of how they never get this?
Well, they're really looking at numbers. Like on views and stuff like that. As I'm hearing, I don't know how it goes, but they see a lot of dudes like people, like friends on Instagram and shit like that, and subscribers and all. They got all kind of little ways you can maneuver and get 50,000 views or friends and all that kind of shit. I don't know, bro. But that's what a lot of these people in these high chairs looking at. You know, everything almost based off the internet right now, man.
Mm-hmm.
Now you talking about the only thing that I know for a fact that they ain't really basing that on, like say for instance, big act coming to your city for a concert. They're not gonna look to the internet for views to get that artist that they need from that city to help pack that concert, you know.
Right.
But anything else, they're looking to the internet for it, man.
Yeah, you know. But I think quite a step too, and we talked about this on the show a few times about how we tell our people don't let these numbers or a lot of these artists fool you in terms of popularity.
Right.
You know, because a lot of these artists have all these big Instagram, you know.
Numbers, but
when it's happening to actually book people, you know, get people in for a show, them shows ain't what everybody think it's gonna be.
Right. Yep.
And I think that's the humbling part that a lot of artists find in terms of really when you find out
how big you are, because when you're trying to move to that next level of popularity, and I say this respectfully, because we're independent, and we're never going to shit on an independent guy or girl, but we always tell our artists out there, you know, coming up, this is a process. It takes time. And, you know, if you're real dependent on the market that you are in, and I'm just going to be blunt with it, there are certain markets in terms of cities where, like, if you're in Atlanta, Miami, New York, L.A., you know, whether you in the suburbs or you in the heart of the hood, you know, New Orleans, where you're from, you know, if you really, really, really have a base there, you know, you can eat there if you really, because it's already had a established, so to speak, branding that, you know, but in some other places, it's like, you know, if you don't come from that major area that's known for being a musical hotspot, you know, it's going to take you a bit longer to get out there, and don't get an attitude thinking, well, you famous, this, that, and the other because you're local, you know, because you're locally known. I'm like, no, there's a difference between locally known and really being, like nationally recognized and then internationally
Mm-hmm. Yep. Totally agree.
You know,
switching gears for a minute. Now, out of all the albums that you guys put out, like, what was your favorite album in particular, and which one of that time period was your favorite to be a part of the group and putting that work in?
My favorite album out of all of them, I gotta say, is two at the top of my chain, bro. It was Uptown for Life and Trendsetters, Return of UNLV. That was my two favorite albums. Now, Uptown for Life was, I mean, that's a lot of people's favorite, you know, of all of them. But Trendsetters, one of my, Trendsetters matches that because we got a chance to really show our range of concepts. It wasn't just no street shit, you know what I'm saying? We talking about young females that's wilding with their bodies and shit like that, you know what I'm saying? We educating the people on all kind of different shit on that album, you know what I'm saying? And we still kept our street credibility, you feel me? So that album, it was like sure more growth than anything to me, you know, and I embraced it.
That's tight, man. I mean, and that's one thing about it when you know, especially in addition to having a favorite album, that you know it's a favorite album of yours that really means something. You know, there's no bias, you know.
Yeah.
It's like when it really like dictated and set the tone in terms of really you knowing like this was the piece of work that really, really embodied what, you know, you were about, what you all as a collective were about. As you go further with it, are there any new artists out there that you have seen that you all would like to work with going forward?
They got a few cats that I got my eyes on that I want to work with, and most of them are from New Orleans.
Okay, tell us about.
You know, most they not on right. You know, it's just a matter of time for the blue. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I want to work with them because I've always saw talent. I've always been a good judge of a person as far as the talent wise. You know, I can see shit that they don't see any a gift, I guess, I'll mess with, man. But I want to see, you know, I want to work with them before they actually do it. You know what I'm saying? Really get where they don't even know they're going.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Mia X got a son in New Orleans named Jack Joe. You know, this dude doing this thing, you know what I'm saying? I never worked with him before. Actually, we just met. So I want to work with him. a few more international teams. You know, like I said, people that I really want to work with are some people that I knew is going to come up one day. You know, and I just want to be up before they do it.
Now, did you have a documentary out that you put together?
Yeah, I have a documentary out. It's the first part of our documentary. As you all know, Tech is the other half of our group. He's incarcerated, Tech, the original Tech Nine. He'll be home real soon, but he's going to do the second part. But the first part, I did it, and you can search it on YouTube at UNLV, The Legendary True Story. That's our officially documentary. You know, the first part of it. So y'all can check that out.
That's a beautiful thing right there. That's a beautiful thing right there, because I was going to say that was a beautiful thing right there, man. Just, you know, seeing your life and your accomplishments and contributions getting put into the small screen like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
tell us about the process in terms of doing that. Tell us about the process in terms of what went into doing that documentary.
Oh, well, it was hard for me because I had to rush it. It wouldn't have been that hard if I would have been in New Orleans the whole documentary, but I was in Houston actually doing it. So I had to use the telephone to get some people interviewed and, you know, just to speak on it. You know, I wasn't able to get every artist that I wanted to get on there to speak of us, you know. So mainly I got my a lot of people that know me, that really, really know me, like my family members. And that part is a real special part of the documentary to me, basically, because the female that started out telling our story is my sister. And she had just passed last December. So I was, like, blessed to be able to get that done. You know, it's a lot of memories with her in there. You know what I'm saying? So a little sentimental thing, too. You feel me?
Yeah, man. Our condolences for your loss, man. And
Tech will do the second part. When he come on, we're going to do this part two.
Definitely. Now, one thing about it in terms of documentaries that are that basically are composite of everything that you've done. Do you have a book planned? I mean, and just in general, how important do you think it is for artists to do something like that to let people know about their history and how to preserve it?
You don't really have to wait till somebody interviews you, do it, you know what I'm saying? You should try it.
Definitely. I mean, dare we say you may have a book down the line to tell your story?
One shit good. Yeah, definitely. We have.
Yeah,
the book's been intended, and we plan on releasing both of them at the same time. So we working on the movie and stuff like we casting for them.
Okay, so we got a movie and book coming up. Man,
he about to hit you with the double. He about to hit you with the double dose, man. That's why COVID need a herb and do with a dose so we get them theaters back open.
Right. Hell yeah, man. Let a little cat out the bag. Yeah, I'm getting Jason Mitchell to play me, man.
You're getting easy to play? Oh, man.
So, I mean, he's actually from our hood, and a few people that was, you know, that was saying that he always mocked me, and, you know, he can act like me.
Which is a testament to that dude being a straight out of Compton and DZ, because he definitely nailed that Cali accent. He's from New Orleans.
Yeah,
he would have fucked
it.
Yeah, that's another dope renaissance of movies to come.
Right.
Too, man.
Easy. What'd you say?
I would say that's a dope renaissance of movies to come because you start seeing that, like you start seeing with the Rough Riders, you start seeing that with No Limit and Death Row. It's great to see that a lot of these legacies are being showcased again for a new era.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one thing about it is, you know, when you're looking at doing movies and such, I think it's important because, especially when you're heading it up, because nobody knows your story better than you. And, you know, you can't always rely on other people to be, you know, unbiased and to really, really, really capture the essence of what you're trying to do outside of yourself. You know, and I think that's where... You know, you always, you know, you can document it. You know, that's why, you know, I think physical copies, you know, King and myself, we've always implored people, you know, in terms of the on a physical copy because that's something tangible that really tells a story. You know, you don't want to release an album and then sometimes down the line, you know, it gets, you know, deleted or whatever. You know, songs get taken off and, you know, these are some of the songs that really may best represent what you've done.
It's what's like the people last week, they called it scare last week when they took All Eyes Off Me on the streaming.
Damn, they did?
Yeah.
Why they done that?
There's no telling.
Ain't no tell. They probably say samples and stuff like that, but I was just telling people that's the danger when you don't own your, when you don't own the hard copy.
Yeah, then when you look at some albums that aren't even on streaming because, you know, some people may not put them up there, but I mean, it's important in that regard. You know, I mean, but songs, you know, lyrics, whatever, I mean, you know, and, you know, of course, on Off the Cuff, we don't endorse any racial bias or whatever. We just say it from a journalistic stuff. I mean, shout out to our Asian brothers and sisters. You know, when all the stuff was going on earlier this year with the Asian attacks, which we are totally against. You know, of course, YG on My Crazy Life had that song Meet the Flockers, and he had a lot about robbing the Asians, and that song got pulled off streaming.
I done ruined in the sticks, man. My reception is real bad. I don't know if y'all can still hear me.
We can hear you.
I mean, you good.
Can y'all hear me?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My shit going in and out. I can't hear, like, barely hear y'all.
But we just go.
No,
just
we can hear
show
fine.
You about those hard copies, bro. Like, you gotta own them, man, because you never know when you're leasing your music or you're leasing your entertainment. They're going to erase a whole, they're going to erase somebody's catalog just like that, just like the baby. You ain't finding that out. They taking him off. They were taking him off a song. His base can't really go to the stores and even support him. Because y'all remember when they were, when NWA and all of them was coming out and you had the whole censorship push going on. They had the picket sign. They were running over albums, but yet they sold more. They sold more albums because, you know, they base went ahead and bought it. But now they gonna erase a nigga whole catalog within the press of a button.
Yeah.
Damn.
And see, when you look at it like that, for what King was saying, the whole vibe was different back then because, you know, it was controversial, but it was actually, you know, the message was really something personal.
See, Max, they just now putting the Liz music up there.
Putting who music?
Say what? Aaliyah.
They just now putting the Liz music up there. It's been in the vault for 20-something
years.
Damn. Wow.
Well, on the good... on the good side about it, it's good because, you know, Aaliyah's stuff never went out of print, you know, because some of these albums we've seen over the years, they end up going out of print. But Aaliyah was always a strong seller, you know, her legacy in terms of what she had, God rest her soul, man. I mean, you know, that girl has some, she really has some stuff. And it really, really, you know, over 20 years later, her catalog, well, really almost 30 years later from when she came in the game, you know, her catalog still stands up, you know, pretty much on anything out
there. Right.
You know, I mean, that's a testament to the classicness. You know, it's just tragic to think about it with her being taken away from us so soon, because there's no telling how far she could have gone. But that's one thing about it, at least a lot of the, you know, young people today will get to hear her and really, really, really understand how talented she truly was. You know, and low-key, how many singers, you know, female singers out there kind of fit her style.
And not only that, man, it just shows that how powerful that music was in the 90s, and now people are just now embracing it, especially with a lot of this stuff coming out now that's on Netflix, like documentaries and movies that's based off that era. That music deserves to get its place heard.
It's like
when he did the what was the joint that y'all did on Netflix when they was talking about New Orleans?
I think Booty Bop.
What's the name of that shit? It was going to different regions. Damn, what's the name of that?
We
I remember seeing you up there.
I had interviews on a couple of different shows on Netflix. I don't know which one you're really talking about.
Yeah, it was the Evolution of Bounce.
Oh, the Evolution of Bounce, okay.
Yeah, Hip Hop Evolution. That's what it was, the Hip Hop Evolution series.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, they were talking about about it on there, I think. Magnol Cali album.
Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that is real important.
I'm a fucking boy, man.
Yeah, but that's something we're wrong. So pretty much in terms of monetizing, in terms of how, so what's it been like for your music in terms of streaming online? You know, how's it been to really, for those who may have not heard you all years ago, to really hear about you now and really be able to introduce?
We had our transition came in, let me see, 2015. Actually,
okay.
Was our last studio album that we released, and we released it digitally only, right? And
gotcha.
We found out basically our core fan bases are still buying CDs, and you know what I'm saying? They like that old in the game, right? You know what I mean? And we found that out because a lot of people was asking us, how do you download? How do you stream? And all this kind of, you know what I'm saying? I'm talking about at our autograph sessions and shit, they ask us this. And Universal actually released the album I'm talking about. It was called The Relaunch. UNLV, The Relaunch album. And we found out, you know, our core fan bases were still buying CDs. And, of course, you know, they ain't pressing CDs no more. So we stuck with it. We didn't release any more albums right then and there, but I have released singles. And I jumped in the game for us. We're releasing our old albums, our classics, on a digital platform now. So sales are definitely picking up. We're approaching platinum on Uptown for Life again. So far we have Uptown for Life and Six and Barone out on a digital platform right now. You know, besides the relaunch. And I think Keep It Gutter, yeah, Keep It Gutter's up there too. You know, we just never pushed it or nothing like that. You know, that's the song, that's the album with Go DJ on there.
And you know, we got to salute y'all for going platinum on digital, man. We got to smooch y'all around.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
We just going to go ahead and say it's flat.
It's been out a solid year now, and it's been doing good. Like I said, Six and Barone just came out. We just re-released that 2 weeks ago. So, and they doing a TikTok, they doing an Eddie Bow. And we had a single on the album called Eddie Bow, and they doing that on the TikTok now, the dance, Eddie Bow. So y'all can do the Eddie Bow challenge on TikTok as well.
That's dope.
See, that's the benefit
like
of streaming,
like
though,
it,
because, yeah, that's
like
a benefit. There's a lot of benefits of it, too.
Uh-huh. Yep. And by the way, our digital deal is with Equity, and that's Jay-Z digital label.
Dad, why are you leaving?
Okay, okay.
Oh,
there's a baby in
the house. Yeah, man. Made it home now, bro. What's
up? That's a good thing.
Wait, man. Yeah,
that's what it is, man. I mean, for y'all to have that loyal base and still putting it down 20-something years later and you being humble and, you know, chopping it up with us, man, it's just an honor, man. I mean, We go back a couple years, man, and you know, seeing that movement still taking off and still doing strong, man, that's a beautiful thing to see, especially with the way the game is lopsided at times.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all having me, man, and running it with me and shit, you know what I'm saying? It's because of cats like y'all and what y'all doing that, you know what I'm saying, keep our name alive, you know? Because these fucking youngsters, they ain't paying homage to, you know what I mean? They don't know nothing about paying homage to whatever respect, dog. So, I mean, that's another lane in the game, you feel me? So I appreciate y'all as well, you know, what y'all are doing, bro.
Yeah, they have that whole what have you done for me lately mentality.
All right.
Yeah, you know that no matter what, man, as long as we're here, we're always going to be the ones to, we're always going to be one of those to make sure that, you know, everybody knows who y'all are and to keep pushing it forward for y'all.
Right, for sure. I appreciate that.
Definitely, man. But, you know, we gotta wrap things up in a little bit, though, man. But you have any shout-outs you want to give out?
Oh, man, I want to send shout-outs to everybody that rock with us, man. Believe me, we love y'all just as well. Straight up, over the years, up-and-coming fans, new fans, old, love y'all. Straight up, we do it for y'all. For real, for real.
And you know y'all, what, hopefully before then.
Y'all go ahead
hopefully
and
before then.
On Instagram, man. Go ahead.
Y'all gonna say hopefully before then when we chop it up again on the air, we'll have C Murder home, we'll have BG home.
Right, ain't tech. Don't forget. Yep.
So we who know we probably can set up and get all of them on the line. Ain't nobody would touch me then.
Right.
Definitely not.
No, bro. For sure, man. Y'all boys be blessed, man. Get at me.
You too, man. Be blessed. And thank you again, man. Thank you so much.
No problem. 100.
100,
all right,
man.
Brother. So on that note, we out. Catch us tomorrow night. Off the Cuff Radio. We creeping while you sleeping, man. We coming at y'all with more content. Check the YouTube channel out. Check DaVinci.com. That's coming. And in the meantime, subscribe, follow us. We keep it pushing for the culture.
Jeff. And we are out till tomorrow. Peace.